Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, episode 11. I'm Andrew.
And I'm not Damien.
Yeah, that's Douglas. Damien seems to be hiding somewhere because I totally made this show just for him. Like, he's been raving about quid pro quo for five or six episodes and been shouting at me, especially after the top 10, which was from the first episode we did. And I was like, okay, I'm going to watch it. And I put it on as this week's review. So today we're going to be reviewing Quid Pro Quo. And I guess we can't spoil... This isn't spoiling much.
No. I'm not even going... We cannot even say anything about the movie. Not even whether we liked it, loved it, disliked it, thought it was, you know, the greatest thing in the world. We can't say anything until we start reviewing.
Thought it was a cinematic revolution.
It was. Much like The Dark Knight.
yeah, and all sorts of stuff. So I felt... Like, it just feels sad that Damien isn't here. I wonder what his excuse is. He won't answer his phone, bastard. Yeah, so, alright. The show for today, what we're going to be doing is... Douglas is going to be browsing the internet since our entire show is thrown out the window more or less this week since Damien decides not to show up. He's going to browse the internet and throw random factoids or whatever the hell he can find there at me and we'll just chat about it until we feel... We've gone on enough until, and then we can get to our news, trailers, and then the feature review, which is Quid Pro Quo.
Yes, that it is.
However, just a couple of announcements. If you've been listening to the podcast, you'll know that what we do every four episodes, we talk about a filmmaker.
Vote David Lynch.
And I finally posted up the poll on the website, gmanreviews.com, which you can go and vote to see which filmmaker we talk about in that episode. But since it's so late, I'm going to delay that filmmaker conversation until episode 13 instead of 12. So
wait, sorry, what's this number again?
This one is 11.
11.
So okay. That's next week, Wednesday. If all goes well. Yeah. So go and vote for whichever filmmaker you want. There's Gus Van Sant, Paul Greengrass... There's James Cameron, Cameron Crowe, and your guy, David Lynch.
David Lynch.
I still haven't watched any of his movies, mind you.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah, and I don't think there's anything else I want to announce. Yeah, so have you found anything yet, Douglas?
No, I haven't, but I did. I've mentioned this already, and so Ustream user 99596, you've heard it before, but I don't think anybody who will be downloading this has heard it yet. 50 Cent is now officially out of the Expendables. He originally replaced the an awful actor, I think. Clearly, 50 was an upgrade, but Forrest Whitaker.
Oh, that's harsh. Forrest Whitaker isn't that bad.
I was trying to be sarcastic, sorry. But, yeah, why would you choose 50 Cent over Forrest Whitaker? What the hell? Anyway, but 50 Cent has finally dropped out. I don't know if he got kicked out or he just... decided not to do it, but Terry Crews is gonna do it. Who Terry Crews is, I have no fucking clue, but he's probably better than 50 Cent. So that was my tidbit for now.
You don't know who Terry Crews is?
I'm sure I do, but I don't know his name. Who is he?
He's that huge dude who's in all those movies. Like, he's in... All right, hold on.
I know who you're talking about.
He's in Chuck and Larry.
I know.
He's in...
No, I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, wait, no, I messed it up. That's Ving Rhames. He's in... Oh,
he's
Soul Plane.
Dark Knight. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
He's a football player.
He's in all the Friday movies. Yeah. He's in, you know, yeah, he
and
is.
And then in every movie, he turns out to be the ridiculous guy or gay. Because you look at him and he'll be like all thick and muscular and be like, I'll fucking kill you. And then he'll turn around and like smile and sing happy songs and he'll become a gay guy for some reason because it's shocking and funny, but it isn't because they keep doing it every fucking time.
Language, Andrew, the language.
I've been really good in the last couple episodes with my language, I have to say, so I'm gonna get it out here. Fuck.
Golly gee.
Yeah, so anything else you found interesting on the internet?
Anything else I found interesting? Yes, you know what I found interesting?
What?
The Cloudy with a Side Chance of Meatballs trailer. I found that interesting.
Do you really want me to play that trailer?
I think it was better than the trailers you had on. Flipping, what was the one you were going to play and you didn't play again?
Drag Me to Hell.
What the hell, Andrew? I've watched that trailer. It's crap.
Can I tell you, I actually like that trailer. Which is why I've been pushing it.
It's not good. I'll give you that Sam Raimi is awesome. And if he has Justin Long is in it. And if Sam Raimi has decided to be his awesome Evil Dead self, I will enjoy the movie no end. However, the trailer sucked.
Whoa. Drag Me to Hell. Like, I think that trailer looks good. I mean, it's the... What's... That lady just looks scary to me, and I wonder... It just looks like a form back to Evil Dead, which I love and you love, and you're gonna be the first in line to watch the movie with me when it comes out.
Which one?
Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
All right, so anything else you want to bring up?
Twilight, the official DVD. Oh yes. That movie was horrendous.
Oh yeah, I was just like, movie Shannon said that she just got the DVD and was looking forward to
what's that?
Twilight. I was looking forward to watching the special features, and I like Twittered her about how I was like, "How I'm ashamed to know that you like that movie." And she's like, and her response is, "Andrew, you're wrong. I do not like that movie. I love that movie." Shannon, and I just died inside a little bit.
Shannon, listen, you sounded like you had some okay, you know, taste in films, but then you come up with this Twilight, really? What? I'm speechless. I don't even have anything to say. Why would you like?
I still haven't watched it, but
you don't watch it?
I still haven't watched it yet. But I still hate on it because I know it's crap.
You need to watch it. That's how bad that movie was.
No,
I could not believe it. I thought it was gonna be kinda bad because I've read the books. And the books are, you know, very teen girl like, very, oh, I'm going to die if I don't have you, if you don't hug me for 5 hours. No, but it wasn't even that. If that was what the movie was, I would have been fine with it. And I'd have thought it was fair, you know. But this movie was horrendously bad.
Wow.
Yes.
At least they're vampires. I like vampires.
They're not really vampires.
I heard they don't have fangs. Is that true?
They have no fangs.
Then they're
whatsoever.
Not vampires. That sucks.
They just bite really hard. That's all.
Oh, you know what? I think we should at least mention.
What?
Oh, yeah. That? Oh, yeah. I knew there was something else I was supposed to do in the announcements.
No, we're not talking about those.
No. One thing I want to announce, right? As of last week, it's made official between all of us. We've agreed that the official stance for this podcast is we will not do, like, mainstream new films.
Well, let's not say that we won't do it.
Unless, of course, we find something that we have to say which is different.
No, but not even just that. You know what? The default is going to be not that. Or you can, no, you announce it. Whatever.
Like, from now on, we're going to be reviewing, like, older movies, indie films, things that you probably wouldn't have seen unless you're a huge film buff. Because I think what we really want to be doing is we want to be encouraging people to go and see these films.
And also encouraging people to send us screeners. Or, sorry, why did I say trailers? Screeners. We just got one. Well, we haven't got it yet, but somebody's sending us one.
It's Gary King. He's sending us his film New York Lately.
Yes.
So eventually that'll be on the podcast. We'll set a date when I actually get the screener itself so we know when we can do it.
Yeah, so we're hoping to get some more. You know, if you have a movie that you want to get out there, we'll watch it and we'll review it more than likely.
Yeah, you can email me at andrew.robinson@gmanreviews.com and you can send me any information. That'd be fun. And also you can email us, everyone, at the podcast at unnamed@gmanreviews.com.
Or if you don't want those bitches to see, just email me at... What the hell is my email? Is it douglas@gmanreviews.com? Yeah. Yeah, so you can do that. Or DM me. I'm DJR lost his name at Twitter.
Yeah, but you need to friend them for them to DM
you. Hey, if you friend me, I'm generally going to friend you back. That's my stance. If you're like spam, I will unfriend you, but I'm always going to friend people who friend me. All right? So they don't have a problem there.
Oh, okay. So yeah, back to you. Anything else you want to talk about to just get out there?
What was there? I'm trying not to talk about the things that are actually in our news thing. There wasn't much on my Google Reader other than what I had sent you. I'm not too certain. There is... I don't know. Yeah, my phone is not really doing very well with this internet thing. The wireless is kind of crapping out on it. But let's see what we've got here. DVD review, Inside Movies. Directed by Richard Donner. What's that?
Yeah, that's something off geeksofdoom.com. let's go down Slash Film. Let's see what Slash Film has done today.
We're not going to phone David Chen. What we're going to do is steal all his stories.
Oh, look at this. Branching and Circling Prisoners. Some movie with Mark Wahlberg in attached.
It? It's probably shit.
Knowing came
Why
out in the States.
Why does everybody seem to think Knowing is good?
No. Most of the people have come to the agreement that it's an okay film and would have been 20 times better if Nick Cage wasn't doing it.
Yeah, because I'm about to say Nick Cage is not an actor I want to watch anymore. I used to love him, not so much anymore.
Yeah, there was a clip of Up sent out, which was kind of inconsequential.
Yeah, most of them are. Oh, yes, that's what I want to talk about. Listen, what do you think about this Terminator stuff? I know we all agreed that the first Terminator trailer was pretty damn good. But since then, how would you grade their marketing strategy?
To make me hate them more and more every day. Because honestly, all right, the true thing is, when I think about Terminator, wash away the shitty series that's being done. Wash away Terminator 3. Terminator 1 and 2 are amazing films. And Terminator 1 especially. I think 1 is better than 2. And I think so mainly because it's more than just action. And that's what I always love from action movies. Whenever I get a little extra, when it comes to story, when it comes to characters, it comes to being a good sci-fi film, right? And when I look at these stills, these trailers, all of the marketing stuff that's been coming out for the new Terminator film, it looks like it's going to be a mindless PG-13 action film, which I don't want. I mean, I guess I shouldn't have said PG-13. We spoke about this last week. I don't care whether it's PG-13 or not, as long as that's fine. You know what I mean? You know, it's done good as a PG-13 thing, right? But I don't want this mindless action film. I want my Terminator back from part one. Part two was pretty awesome. Part 3 was shit, and this series that you love for some ungodly reason is utter trash. I can't get past episode 3 of the first season.
What? I don't know. I know it's not that great.
You see,
at the same time, it's almost like a 24 situation.
You see, this is the thing.
It's awesome to watch.
I think Terminator the Sarah Connor Chronicles was gifted because it came out during the writer's strike. There was nothing else scripted you could watch.
No. It came up from before. And then, hang on, it came out from before, and then the strike happened, and then they stopped early. I'm pretty sure their first season was maybe 10 episodes. How long was it? It wasn't very long because of the writer's strike.
I'm about to check how many episodes they got in the first season, but I'm sure it was more or less filled because it sounded like it was something that Fox had stored in their closet. They were like, this show is trash, but we'll just put it down. We paid for the script for the guy to write it. We never know when it'll come in handy. And then, woohoo, a strike happens.
And I thought you would love it because Lena Head is in it. Your favorite, from your favorite movie.
Which movie is that?
300. She was the queen.
Oh. Well, I mean, I didn't like that movie for the acting. I guess she's hot, but it's a Fox TV show. She's not going to get naked in it.
Darn it. You mean I've been watching all this time for no reason?
I guess. All right, so we're pulling this up on TV.com.
God damn it, my internet keeps switching in and out. I want to tweet something and it won't let me tweet it.
Oh, man. Episodes.
Yeah, I think it was max 12 to 13 episodes the first season.
But that's like a season for these people.
Oh, no. See, look. 12 was episode 3 in season 2. They had 9 episodes in season 1. 9.
But these were still 9 episodes that were written and had to go on during the strike when there was nothing else to watch.
No, the strike started like at halfway through at least.
Yes, and there was nothing else to watch.
No, because no, this thing stopped going around when everybody else stopped going, when they were like, okay, we're done with all our back scripts. I'm pretty sure.
I guess I have to leave it there, but I still believe it started during the strike. They pulled it out of a drawer and they were like, here, do this.
But it's fun. I mean, come on. Where can you get to watch old people from 90210? Seriously.
On old episodes of 90210?
Yeah, but then, you know, that's lame.
Oh, man. Oh.
What?
Anything else you want to talk about before we go to the news? You know I'm pushing for the news.
Why are you pushing for the news?
Because I don't think we have anything really to talk about.
I don't care.
Unless you want to talk about Watchmen.
I guess we could talk about Watchmen. Watchmen was kind of awesome. I liked it. What did you think?
Well, I mean, I have the review on gmanreviews.com. You can go and go over there and read it to see my full state.
Oh, no, hang on. You know what? No, you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Carib fucking 5. That's what we're going to talk about right now.
Oh, okay. What do you want to talk about, Carib fucking 5?
Those bastards.
Oh, can I say, watch your language, young sir.
Touché.
Okay, so what was it about Carib? What happened that has angered you about Carib?
When I pay for a service, I expect to be serviced.
That sounds like you're in New Kingston.
Yes, I'm talking about the editing that they did. And not just the editing that they did. First off, they edited a piece of the movie out. I'm not going to get into why they edited it out. It's an awful reason, but whatever. For whatever reason, they stole from me, however long it is, whatever time frame it is that they took out of the movie. That's what they did. They stole. Not only did they steal from me, but they decided on the second night, by the way, it came out on a Wednesday. Me and Andrew and a few other people went on the Thursday afterwards. They decided that, you know what? This is going to be maybe a blockbuster, maybe not. It's going to be a big okay movie, so let's not keep the film clean. Let's make sure there's a huge green bar going down the middle of the screen. Let's make sure that you can't actually see what's happening in the middle of the screen because it's all black, because clearly, you know, there's a bunch of guck on it. That was horrendous. I thought it was insane. I couldn't deal with it.
Well, everyone can go to G-Man Reviews and see my post. I think I titled it, I Never Knew a Theater Could Be Homophobic.
Yeah, something like that.
Because I ranted on, because you said you don't want to tell them what they edited out. I'm going to tell you.
No, it's not that I'm going to tell you. I'm just not going to get into that argument.
They edited out 2 seconds within the opening credit sequence in which 2 women kiss, right?
However, you know what, though?
What?
They decided that it's not okay to watch ladies kiss, but it is okay to watch them dead and then pan out.
I mentioned that.
Pan out to a wall that has lesbian whores written in blood. That's okay. You know?
Oh, Carib, we love you.
I don't.
I was being sarcastic.
I know you were. I just had to make sure nobody thought I was agreeing with you in a real way.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, Carib, like, seriously. I go to the movies nearly every week now. It's a thing with me, and I'm annoyed to hell whenever I go to the theater and you see the picture broadcasted onto the sheets rather than the actual screen.
Yes, what the hell is that? They don't open the... Okay, so what they have is they have some curtains in front of the screen that they open whenever the movie starts playing. But they don't actually open it all the way. So some of the movie is still on the curtain. And not only that, when they open the curtain and you know how they have to play trailers and then they play the movie? Well, they play the trailers with a lens that is not the lens that they play the movie with. So they have to change the lens. And how they change the lens, it's a wonderful process. You see somebody's hand come in front of the screen and then change the lens.
You make it sound so scientific.
It is. It's wonderfully scientific. It's a very... It's a big hand machine. Or maybe it's just a hand.
I think it's like a prop from Terminator.
Or maybe from Evil Dead. You know what? It's Sidney Poitier's foot from Grindhouse.
Whoa. Right. And also another thing with Carib that I've noticed is what they've done now is they've installed like all these awesome flat screen TVs around the place, and they play trailers for movies that they want to bring out. However, they play trailers which are taken from websites and they have the watermark still on them. So like we're standing up trying to buy soda and popcorn, and we see a trailer for 12 Rounds, which sadly is coming out next week, and it has the IGN watermark at the bottom. So we're sitting there and laughing ourselves to death because they're stealing trailers from IGN. They can't get official trailers to play in their theater. But I have to say, in the theater, it plays without the watermark. I wonder, like...
Maybe that's why they have the curtains closed somewhat, so we can't see the watermark. That's probably what it is. I like this picture. This picture makes this movie look really cool. Modern Love is Automatic. We're looking at, I think... Oh, no, this is First Film School Rejects we're looking at. And they have a South by Southwest review. So I didn't actually read it, but I thought the picture on there looked very nice.
Yeah. All right, so let's just jump into news.
Damn it.
Yeah, we're just blathering on. All right, this week in news, one thing that you wanted to talk about really was that Cannes, the French film
festival
words escape me. They're going to be opening with the new Pixar film Up.
Like that they are. It's the first time that they have ever opened with an animated feature. Certain features have been selected before. I believe Dumbo is one that got selected that was animated. So was Shrek. But, you know, I just thought it was an interesting story that this would open. It's hopefully going to be a big budget thing for these Pixar guys. So I thought it was just a fun thing to talk about.
I definitely know it's not anything new for studios to be prepping their films, especially somewhat big films, by going to these festivals. Like, Inglourious Basterds is supposed to be at Cannes, and previous years there have been films like Zack and Miri debuted at lots of festivals before it came out.
Yeah.
Which was supposed to be a big film.
Kevin
hoped it would have been a big film, but
Kevin,
unfortunately,
I don't know what you did. What happened there, Smithy?
He decided to cast Seth Rogen.
But I didn't have a problem with Seth Rogen in the movie. I just didn't like the movie. Well, I shouldn't say I didn't like the movie. The movie was much more average than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. It's not a thing for them to be bringing out non-indie films, like Hollywood studio films into these festivals. But I think it's just a big deal because it's Pixar, and Pixar has its name made already. So just writing Pixar onto a card which has the name of the movie all the way at the other side and it has no relation will sell the movie, right? So the real question is, what does Pixar and Disney gain from playing it at Cannes?
That's a good question.
Like, are they using it as a test screening, more or less? Because that'd suck.
Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. Apparently in the article, is this Billington? Yeah, Billington talks about other cartoons that have been selected. And Up is in the prestigious category with shows such as Over the Hedge
and Kung Fu Panda.
I
loved Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, I watched it the other night and it was pretty good. It definitely was better than Wall-E.
No.
Dun dun dun.
Right. So and I'm gonna insert the clip right there of Damien and Dave.
You should. If only we were recording that.
Yeah. All right, next story. Rainn Wilson and Sarah Silverman are going to be in this new film, The Peep Show.
And I would like to say, not only Rainn Wilson and Sarah Silverman, I saw an article, I don't think it's in this one, that also, oh, see, it's right here, also said that Michael C. Hall is in it. If you guys don't know who that is, you should. His name is Dexter. He is on Showtime. He's not on there right now, but probably within the next 6 months, he'll be on there Sunday.
The season 3 DVD is soon coming out. I have to get that.
Oh, man. If you have not watched Dexter, go and buy the first three seasons. Don't rent it. Buy it and watch them all. They are amazing.
And then send your credit card bill to Douglas at gmanreviews.com so that he can apologize whenever you are that one person out there who doesn't like Dexter.
You won't be. And if you are, just send them to me. I'll watch them. I won't pay you, though.
Right. Like, there isn't much stuff that we know about this movie, is there? Like, is there, like, a overall plot that's supposed that we can talk about?
I remember
about?
I read one, but I was very tired that night when I was sending all of those emails to you. So I don't. Oh, yes. Adult siblings and father's birthday and some rubbish like that. It looks like it's a general, generic comedy. But at the same time, Michael C. Hall is in it. I haven't seen him in very many movies. Correct me if I'm wrong. Well, I'm not wrong. I haven't seen him. But correct me if I'm wrong in the sense that he's not in very many movies. I don't think he is. I know he started out in one of my favorite shows, 6 Feet Under, which I still haven't even finished watching yet. And then he went on to Dexter. He's more a television show type of guy. And, you know, I think that's amazing. And
he was in Paycheck.
Oh, boy.
That wonderful, wonderful film starring Ben Affleck.
Michael C. Hall, how could you? I'm at a loss of words.
He was one of the agents. We probably couldn't even recognize him if we watched it now.
Yeah, it was one of his first movies.
It was his first.
I'll give him that. Okay, when you're young, you know, you do stupid things. But when you grow up, you leave childish things behind you. And he has.
I can't really say much about it. I mean, I like Rainn Wilson, what I've seen of him. I definitely enjoyed that film he did last year, The Rocker.
The Rocker, yeah, The Rocker was good. He was kind of funny, though. He was only in it for 5 seconds in Juno, and he is hilarious in The Office. You should really watch that show. I know you have the stigma against because, oh, it's not the British show, and the British show is very good, which I'm sure you haven't even watched yet.
I've watched most of it. I've watched the first season.
That's not most of it.
Aren't there only 2 seasons?
And a Christmas special. You watched less than half.
The percentage just went down. I only thought it was 2 seasons.
No, you should know by now, Ricky Gervais. He has 2 seasons plus Christmas special. Then he stops.
And what's his next show that he's going to do that for?
I don't know, but whatever it is, I'm going to watch it because it's going to be amazing. Yeah, so The Office, it started out as, you know, this lame copy of The Old Office. But now it's come out into its own and it is really funny. I have to watch it. I mean, I still need to catch up on the last like 5 or 6 episodes, but I watch that thing religiously now, in the sense that I don't miss one until I miss it.
Here's another thing. Like, all right, we talk about Ricky Gervais, who he's done 2 series, right? Just Extras and The Office.
I'm sure he may have done more, but probably not as a top bill guy.
Not as like his show.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He does it for 2 seasons, a Christmas special done. And we can see with a ton of British shows, they set out 1, 2, 3 seasons and then they're done.
Yeah, those bastards. I really want some more Spaced. I want some more Black Books. And a flipping mosquito just jumped in my eye. Thank you very much.
I have on my protective eyewear, otherwise called glasses. Yeah, but like, as we can see, when we look at those shows are amazing. And for the entirety of the show, however, we see a lot of American shows that go on and on and on and just wait until it gets bad to be cancelled.
After it jumps the shark.
Right? Dun, dun. Or nukes the fridge.
I don't know that one. Where's that one from?
Indy 4.
Yes. Okay. He nuked the fridge. I like it.
Right. So, I mean, there's all of that attached. But so wouldn't you rather the British approach where they sit down and they say, we're doing two seasons of this amazingness and done. Don't ask me for any more in your lifetime. And you get it awesome. Or do you want it 8 seasons in which the last 5 are all horrible?
You know what? I'm a very loyal person. I like to, even if it's not the same show, I like to see the same guy that I really like on TV whenever I can.
Ricky Gervais came back.
I know, Ricky Gervais came back. Dylan Moran has not come back. He was in a Simon Pegg film, 2 Simon Pegg films. And wait, sorry, what else was he in? Nothing that was of any sort of huge note. I think he's writing something, but I don't think he's on TV much. And you've spelled Dylan DeLeon, by the way. but still, it still knows what you're talking about.
Because I'm awesome.
See? He's in a cock and bull story. I don't know that one, but I need to get that immediately. He's in Tell It to the Fishes. I need to watch that. And a film with me in it. With no poster. That must have been huge. But really and truly, you know, like, I enjoy when I really warm to a person or a set of people, I really enjoy watching them interact. It's like I really love what the Broken Lizard people are doing. They came out with, you know, Super Troopers, which was hilarious. Then they came out with Club Dread, which was kind of crappy. But at the same time, they said, you know what, we're going to still go. And we did Bear Fest, which was awesome. And Slammin' Salmon looks like it could be okay. Actually, it doesn't, but I hope it is. But I like those guys. I think they're really funny. And so I like to see them come back with another movie with the same people in it. I mean, they usually get more people to come as well, but with the same core people. And so I like to see that. But so it's kind of annoying for me when they only do 2 seasons. I wouldn't mind it if they took an approach like Rowan Atkinson did in his show in names elude me right now. Before Mr. Bean, he was with Hugh Laurie.
Blackadder.
Thank you, Blackadder. If people took a Blackadder approach in the sense that it would be the same people but not necessarily the same show every season, that would actually, I think, be great.
Okay. You know. But you're talking about it in a whole different sense, where in the film world, kind of like Judd Apatow, he has his Rolodex. And he knows no matter what, when he calls you, you're going to say yes. Kind of like Kevin Smith did for his first few films.
True, there's and Adam Sandler does this all the time as well.
There's no way Kevin Smith, Ben Affleck, can pick up his cell phone, see Kevin Smith there on the caller ID and not answer the phone.
He probably looks at his phone and is like, shit, he's going to ask me to do another movie.
And he's going
to
maybe
told
do it for
him
free.
Not to do it. I told him I'm only looking to do big movies now. Movies that actually make money.
You know? And he has to do it, and he has to do it for cheap as well.
Yeah.
He can never look at Kevin Smith and say, "What? How much are you going to pay me?" Because then Kevin Smith smacks him in the face and he no longer is phoned on this world.
Yeah. I always make fun of Ben Affleck, but you know what? He did really good on Gone Baby Gone. Yeah. I give it to you, Ben. Really, I mean, for that alone, you get back your Oscar rights. I took it away, you know. You did not deserve for Good Will Hunting because of all the crap you did later. But you know what? You get
but
it
how
back
do you
now.
Know? But how about this, right? Imagine the world. You have gone back in time, and it is now what year did Good Will Hunting come out?
96, maybe?
Let's call it 96. And it is now 1996, and Ben Affleck hasn't done much, and Good Will Hunting comes out, and we go to the cinema and we watch it.
Uh-huh.
And we're amazed, because we can agree, it's a good movie.
Yeah,
it's an amazing film.
It's a very good movie.
And it won for screenplay.
That it did.
And Ben Affleck goes up and he wins for screenplay. Do you sit there and you say, Ben Affleck, you're a piece of shit, you don't deserve that award? Because all these things that you're hating on hasn't been released yet.
I'm sure all Ben Affleck did is he crossed a T.
He wrote his name at the top of the paper while Matt Damon wasn't looking.
Exactly. He dotted his lowercase J's. I think that's about all Ben Affleck did.
Oh, you're mean.
No, I'm sorry. I just joke. But yeah, you're right. If he was an integral part of the script, then he deserved it. The script was good. The script was great. The movie was wonderful.
talking about script writing, I was listening to this piece of, what was this podcast that I've been listening to? Creative Writing, the Creative Writing Podcast, I think it is. I'm letting iTunes open up because it takes friggin' forever. The Creative Screenwriters Magazine Podcast.
Yeah.
And what they do is every week they have a Q&A with screenwriters from films. And this week they had David Hayter and Alex Say. I think it's Say from Watchmen.
Oh, is that where that was from? I saw that on like Billington site or something.
Is it?
Yeah, I saw something about them. Maybe it's from there, but he was just talking about it.
Oh, okay. And like David Hayter was talking about how he got his first screenwriting job, which was X-Men. No. All right. I'm not talking about like how good the screen is. I'm about to give you the story that he gave to show you about writing accreditation kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like he said that what happened was him and Bran Singer, the director of X-Men, were good pals, and they were going to do a film together called Burn. That didn't happen because it was low budget and no one had names to it. And it still isn't sold. It up to now, that film hasn't been sold to a studio, so it's still sitting in his closet or something.
Yeah.
And he was like begging for work at that time when X-Men was being done. And what's Bran Singer said, sure, do you want to like answer phones at the office for me? He's like, all right, whatever. And he'll take the job. He needs the money. He's he's like dead broke now because he spent all his money doing all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then he's sitting there answering phones, being a regular clerk, being like, ah, shit, this sucks. And then one day he's like pulled into some car or something, and they're talking about the script and all the problems with the script with X-Men, because Bryan Singer is going on about, oh, god damn it, I hate this screenplay, it's going to suck, my career is going to go to crap, I'm going to be... and David Hayter was a huge X-Men fan.
Yeah.
Right? And he would... He like sat there and was like, hey, you could do this and that and have that and that happen. And then it would work out in the end for what you guys are trying to do. And he's like, okay, write that scene for me. and then he's like, he's thinking this guy's joking with him because this is like a huge $80 million budget film.
Yeah.
You know? Doesn't want to mess with the man's work, right? And then he, like a couple of days later, he's like, do you have that script ready for me? He's like, no, I'm working on it, whatever. He's like, shit, he meant it. And he goes out and he writes it. And then he writes a scene for him and he's like, whatever. And then a week later, he like talks to Bryan Singer and he's like, what do you think of the scene? He's like, I liked it. I put it in the movie. And then, right, what happened is as the production went on, Bryan Singer called up David Hayter and was like, all right, what you're going to do, right, is you're going to come with me into all of these production meetings and you're just going to sit in the back and take notes. Don't say one fucking word. Just sit in the back and take notes. And then I'll talk to you after every meeting, right? And then he'd be talking and they'd be going through the script and all the story and everything. And then Bryan Singer would lean back during the meetings and be like, what do you think about that idea? He'd be like, I don't know. You told me not to talk. And then basically by the end of the film, David Hayter had written basically 3/4 of the script.
That's sweet.
And then he got accredited for it.
Nice.
And that was his first accredited script in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And he got the record for, and that film grossed like $50-something million. Uh-huh. So he like got the record for highest grossing film for a first time screenwriter.
Oh, that's nice.
Even though Alex Say beat him because his first time screenwriting was Watchmen, and Watchmen got 55 so far.
He must have been like, why am I letting him write my movie with me?
Yeah, so if you guys are interested in stuff like that, you should go around and check out the Creative Screenwriters Podcast. It's on iTunes. I'll put up a link in the show notes.
Yeah, you should. You know what's a funny story too is Toblowski's story about the David Byrne movie.
Really? What was that now?
Do you remember? I can't even remember the whole story about, you know who David Byrne is, right?
Yeah.
The lead singer from the Talking Heads. And he was making a movie and apparently he knew some lady that Toblowski knew, and it's funny when Toblowski says it because he knows all the details. I'm going to just muck it up. I can't remember anything. I remember it just involves Toblowski and David Berman staring at a wall for 4 hours.
Oh, yes, I remember what story you're talking about. It was when he was on the Slash Filmcast, he was talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another amazing podcast you guys should listen to if you don't already. All right, next news item. Matt Damon confirms that Bourne 4 is in progress.
But he's confirmed the goddamn thing for like months now. Why is this news? I'm serious. He confirmed that it was going to happen maybe 2-3 months ago.
Yeah, but you know how these things are. You know, there's the people who say, yeah, it's going to happen, and then it never really happens. But this is like an official...
No, but
like,
didn't he sign on 2 or 3 months ago?
Maybe.
I think he did.
You'd have to like link
and
me
he's, that. And he's also doing another CIA-type movie with Paul Greengrass, and he's doing a Clint Eastwood movie where he's the captain of the South African something team. I can't remember.
I can't remember. I just remember
running
the picture.
Team or, yeah, the picture. That's what I saw.
In
the
blonde
awesome,
hair.
Yeah, blonde hair and the awesome blue and white blazer. Not blazer, sorry. Windbreaker.
No, but really what I wanted to ask was what you felt about them doing a Bourne 4, especially knowing that this one will have no book to work off of.
Andrew, again, we've had this conversation before. The other three never had books to work off of either. You realize that, right? You realize that?
No, what?
Everybody complains, Andrew, that none of the three movies actually go along with any of the story in the three books that were written.
Really?
Yes. I think they're saying that they say that the first one was, you know, okay, but the rest of them, it's kind of like, so there's this guy named Jason Bourne, but he's just doing other shit now. You know? So I don't think it actually goes along with the story anyway, so that wouldn't matter to me.
Okay. Fine.
Also, Bourne Identity, or Bourne is awesome, so there's that.
And Paul Greengrass is going to do it, so there'll be no Steadicam.
Holy shit. I'm going to have to take a Panadol before I watch that movie.
And there was another thing that came out this week that I still don't have in the news, but whatever, just related to this whole taking Panadol when you go to the theater.
Yeah.
They were talking about in the States implementing this immersive theater
technology. The jacket?
No, not the jacket, where the seats vibrate during the film. Like, can you imagine watching a movie like Bourne, where not only is the camera shaking and everything, but your seat is vibrating all over the place?
Nice. But you know what, though? I think it may have been on Engadget, now that I think about it. I saw an article about this jacket that's supposed to immerse you in a film. I guess it vibrates all over the place or something. But you wear this jacket, and I guess it has some sort of power connection somewhere, and it makes you feel like you're actually in the movie. And no, I'm not going to talk about that.
Why don't you want to talk about it?
Because it's dated March 13th.
But our last podcast was like...
I don't care. It's too long ago. And it's only worth, you know, a very, very short mention.
All right. A very, very short mention. on Cinematical this week, there was an article posted...
Okay, that's short enough. Let's go. No, I'm just joking.
About how George Lucas almost made Indiana Jones a sex offender.
Pederast.
In apparently a transcript to the that was released to the internet, a conversation between George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, and Lawrence Kasdan, they were talking about like the origins of the relationship between Indy and what's her name? What's the woman's name again? I can't remember for some reason right now.
Oh, Marion.
Marion, right? The origins of their relationship was that he met her when she was like 12 and they had an affair, and then he found her again at 22, and there was this whole odd thing going, and I was like, holy shit, George Lucas had crazy fucking ideas from back then. Like, you know, people go crazy when he nukes the fridge.
Apparently, it's worse than you said. Here I see 11.
Oh. and Indy is 42.
Yeah, so that's not cool at all.
Like, I mean... Everyone complained about how he nuked the fridge with Indy 4. And
I actually didn't mind that scene. I thought that was one of the better scenes in the movie.
No, I was just talking his ideas in general during the film. Can we spoil it?
I think we can. Isn't it far enough out that most people should have either watched it or decided that they don't want to?
All right. Spoilers for Indiana Jones 4, but you shouldn't care anyways.
Spoiler alert!
Shit. In the end, the whole story is aliens. And it just doesn't fit into the Indy world. At all, and it's ridiculous.
It doesn't fit into any world at all.
And it's George Lucas pushing his sci-fi fandom all over his movie.
Yeah, essentially.
Right? It's annoying. So, yeah, that's the end of spoilers. This just comes back to the whole idea of him pushing crazy ideas into films that they don't need to be in there.
Yeah.
So George Lucas, you officially lost every license in the world because not even back then did you have sense.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, come on. You've screwed up both Star Wars and Indiana Jones. You are a douchecock.
Yeah. Another news item that came out this week. David Gordon Green is apparently...
I had to give you on a silver platter. You know... I'd like to tell you, all of you viewers out there, or you listeners, that Andrew was going to make us talk about the same things that we were going to talk about a week ago on this show. So I had to actually go out and find things to talk about. And this was one of them. I don't know if you agree with my take on it, but I think we should at least talk about it. And so James Franco is joining David Gordon Green's new movie about another stoner comedy. I don't know if Rogan's actually going to be in it. It made no mention of Seth, but I think we should talk and say, you know,
it's a fantasy stoner comedy.
Andrew, they're stoned. Everything's a fantasy.
So yeah, if you don't know, David Gordon Green, he directed Pineapple Express last year.
And a few episodes of Eastbound.
Three episodes
Down,
of Eastbound and Down, yeah. That new show on HBO, which I think is hilarious.
It's not hilarious. It is. Laughed once in, how many episodes have there been? Four?
There have been five, I think.
Because he jizzed in his pants.
Don't
I love
give
that
it
song.
Away.
I think that song is amazing. Have you heard that song, by the
I
way?
Have, and
it's so hilarious.
All right, here's the thing, right? I didn't think it was that funny. And then I rewatched that whole clip like a week ago. And it was just before I watched that episode. And I was laughing so ridiculously. I have to admit, it's funny.
That song is hilarious.
But I think it would have been funnier, the song, if they didn't get ridiculous with it. Like, if you notice in the song...
No, but that's what's funny, is that they get ridiculous.
No,
and then,
hold on.
Timberlake comes in, too.
Hold on. No, let me explain what I mean by ridiculous. The song in itself is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? But in the end, like, towards the end of the song, they just keep saying, jizz in my pants, over and over. Like, they'll be like, I'm trying to say a line here, and then they should jizz in my pants, rather than doing jizz in my pants and going to
verse. It gets so bad that you don't even need to do anything anymore. You just, and it happens. That's what the song is about.
If you haven't, you should search YouTube for...
Or Hulu if you're in the States. It's on Hulu.
No, sure. Don't use Hulu. I'm fighting on Hulu.
Why? Because they've IP blocked or because they've taken Boxy and... Yeah, Boxy out of the loop. Which one?
I don't care about Boxy. It's okay. Because they've IP blocked me.
But you understand it. They're going to have to pay extra licensing fees.
Shut up. Hulu is the devil because they let everyone...
So is Pandora the devil?
Yes, just like Netflix. And Amazon, to an extent, right? When I ordered the Dark Knight DVD...
Yeah. Oh yes, you told me about the story.
I was like so happy. I was like, yeah, it ships. I'm going to get the Dark Knight. And then wait until I finish to say whatever you've seen. It's just shocking.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to... And then they send me an email when it ships. Finally, because I pre-ordered it, and they were like, hey, since you pre-ordered the DVD here, you can watch it on our Watch Instantly on Amazon thing if you want until you get it. And I'm like, awesome, I can go and watch it. And then I click on the link, and they're like, you can't watch it because you're in Jamaica.
Yeah, apparently our money isn't good enough for them.
I mean, it's one thing when Hulu, Netflix, all of them tell me from the get-go, I won't allow you. But when Amazon lets me spend my money there, and then they tell me, here, you can go and do this, and then they tell me I can't do it because I'm not in the country, it's just lame and annoying and pisses me off.
That it is.
Anyways, is there something you wanted to mention?
Oh, no. I was just a little bit surprised because this person I follow on Twitter, I'm kind of looking at Twitter right now, Amanda Diva, she's a really cool singer, actually. Or I think she is. That's who she is. She's supposed to be. She had a song with Q-Tip, which was pretty decent. She just put up a tweet here that says, South by Southwest equals a waste of my time.
Oh.
Which, yeah, exactly. I was a bit shocked and appalled by that one, because I would have loved to go to South by Southwest.
Me too.
Damn you, Amanda Diva. Give me your tickets.
No, but you see, you need the plane tickets as well.
She can afford to pay for my first class ticket.
Okay. But I still say we need to start out with Sundance.
Yeah.
Anyways, this one wasn't on the list, but I thought we might be able to talk about it for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, Avatar, the new James Cameron film based on... Is this one based on the cartoon or is it just some original sci-fi story?
I don't know.
Story?
I think it's an original sci-fi story, but I do know that there is an Avatar cartoon because the guy at my work always talks about his kids watching it.
No, I know Shyamalan is doing an Avatar, which I think is based on the cartoon.
Oh, so then I think this one is definitely not then.
Okay, yeah. Apparently the budget for this film is exceeding $300 million and it's... I think it'll be the record for the...
Most
expensive movie, is it?
I don't know.
I'm skimming the article now. If it is, but this is still
Go back down, It's in the update. Time has added the following to its article. The original version, oh Jesus Christ, stop scrolling so I can read, Andrew. Go back up. Oh yeah, here it says. It said the original version of the story misstated the cost of the film Avatar as being in excess of $300 million. The correct figures... Or the correct figure is in excess of $200 million.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not as bad because that's happened before. But, like, all right. First of all, do you have any expectations for this film, Avatar?
No.
Other than the fact that James Cameron is doing it?
I don't know. James Cameron is doing it, like you say, and generally his movies are pretty decent. Other than that, I haven't seen much marketing stuff. I think that the technology he is using, if it works the way he says it works, is amazing. And that's about it. I'd love to watch it because of the hype and the type of things that he's saying about it. But I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Well, marketing-wise, they haven't really done much. I think they've said that there's going to be a trailer attached to Star Trek in the States in the theater. And we'll probably get one online around that time because even if they don't release one properly, they'll probably have people camming it and bootlegging it online.
Not that we ever condone bootlegging.
No.
Not at all.
No, when it comes to that, I'm okay. if you're in the States listening to this and for some reason they don't release Avatar trailer online, please go to the theater. Whip out your iPhone or whatever it is you have.
So I can watch it.
So I can put it on YouTube and so I can watch it, please. Because I am sad that my theater doesn't do trailers like that.
Yeah, that's kind of lame. We really don't get much good trailers unless it's movie coming out.
No, you see, like, all right, here's the difference in the marketing ploy in the States, right? What they do, right, is the trailers come out from as much as a year pre the film.
No, generally not a year. I'd say 6 months. A year was Batman. Dark Knight.
No,
because Batman did so well.
Yeah, all right. 6 months. They'll have a trailer, and it'll usually go online, which is how we get to see them. But generally, they play it in the theater in the States, and they attach it to huge films. And, you know, they kind of, like, niche them. So if, like, the Dark Knight would have been attached to Iron Man if it was like that, so that action people see action trailers and stuff like that, and you see all these trailers... And you get the idea of what's coming out, and they can decide upon which movies they should release because they get the feeling from the audience way in advance. What happens in Jamaica, though, is that they're like, oh, Watchmen is coming out next week. Let's play a Watchmen trailer 1 week in advance, right? And then you have nothing to go on. And then when the movie bombs in Jamaica, they have no one to blame but themselves because no one was given warning, no one... Unless you're like me, who watches everything off of the internet, you're not going to know that this movie exists. And then you're going to have to hope that they came during that 1 week to the cinema to see that trailer. And then you had to hope, on top of which, that these are the kind of people that want to see that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So what they really need to be doing is like the States where they play the trailers from way in advance, whether they're releasing it or not. And then they gauge it based on audience reaction as to whether they should release it. You know what? 10 screen multiplex right across the street.
Yes.
We're going to do it.
Okay, I'd like to insert a news item here.
All right, what's that?
It's a bit old, but I didn't see it at all. Ashton Kutcher envisions Punked the movie. His quote says, or I shouldn't say his quote says, he is quoted as saying, "I might take it to another level."
Is this going to be like Jackass, except with Ashton Kutcher?
I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. My sister calls them Ashtonisms, said Kutcher from of the terms he comes up with. This is ridiculous. Why is he making a movie? He needs to stop. Even his fiction movies aren't good. God damn it.
All right, yeah, that's the end of our news statement. I'm not even going to comment on that.
What, we didn't have anything else?
We didn't have anything else.
That's kind of lame.
So let's just move into trailers. We're going to start out with this one. It's called In the Loop.
In the Loop.
He did not say unforeseeable. You may have heard him say that, but he did not say that, and that is a fact.
I apologize for Malcolm.
Don't apologize for me. Apologize for yourself.
Is war unforeseeable, Minister?
To walk the road of peace, sometimes we need to be ready to climb the mountain of conflict.
Climb the mountain of conflict? You sound like Nazi Julie Andrews.
The PM wants you to go to Washington. Talk to as few people as possible. That'd be best for you.
I'm in a motorcade.
I feel like we should have bookers, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You want girls?
No, absolutely not.
Who's Simon Forrester?
He said war was unforeseeable, and I think he could be very useful on the war committee.
You're going to use him as a little meat puppet.
You might be a scary little poodle back in London, but here you're nothing.
What is going on?
You're like the woman from The Omen. You've given birth to a demon, and now it's going to kill you.
This will be the vote to commence military intervention.
He's mentioned a bomb.
I'm not going to set a bomb off.
How do I know you're...
I don't want to back a war.
What?
What?
You're an idiot.
Have you ever even actually killed anybody?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, fall asleep on someone, that doesn't count.
Don't you have your boss twisting in the wind and then bursting late, smelling like a pissed seaside donkey?
Where's the war committee?
Do you like how I'm telling you what's going on where you are?
Hoity-toity.
Hey, buddy, enough with curse words, all right?
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat...
This is the problem with civilians wanting to go to war. Once you've been there, you never want to go again unless you absolutely have to. It's like France.
So, as you can hear, we were still laughing from the movie. I couldn't hear it, but it was still hilarious, though I could not hear what was going on. Also, I'd love to say that though Andrew has fixed his hardware issues,
some
his computer
them.
Is still frozen. It froze while the trailer was playing. So that was fun to watch happen. And it was fun to see his freaked out response to it. But anyway, back to the trailer. I thought it was really, really funny. As Andrew was saying while we turned off the microphones, Gandolfini really hasn't been in much since The Sopranos. And so it's good to see him doing something that is of a movie-type fictional nature. I mean, he did do the one documentary-type thing where he interviewed Iraqi
HBO.
Veterans, which was kind of... Well, I shouldn't call it lame because I didn't actually watch it, but I didn't watch it because I thought it would be lame. So
He also was in that shitty movie, All the King's Men.
Did you really think it was that bad? I didn't watch it, so I don't know. But
I think Sean Penn was good, but he was overacting a bit.
Uh huh.
And he's good in everything, but that movie was just too ridiculous. It was so bad, and what's his name? The guy from
Jude Law?
Not Jude Law. Well, yes, Jude Law was bad in it. But
Jude
I was
Law is always
about him.
Bad.
I was thinking about the guy from Silence in the Lambs. What's his name? I can't remember. Anthony Hopkins.
The guy from Silence in the Lambs. What the hell?
He was bad as well in the movie. Like that. No one should watch that movie. It was just poor.
Yeah. Anyway, back to In the Loop. It was hilarious. I love that Steve Coogan makes a cameo appearance that it looks like with his little fake mustache. Cutler Beckett is in this movie.
Yep, Cutler Beckett from Pirates.
Yes. I have to say, I wasn't, you know, a big fan of the third Pirates. I thought he was good in the Pirates movie. I also love this man. Well, I shouldn't say I love him. I just love the movie that he was in. He was
like
in...
Jason Segel,
he
I love this man.
Exactly like Jason Segel. Anyway, he was in a movie that I just absolutely adore, and that movie is A Good Year, with Russell Crowe and Marion Cotillard.
He was the agent.
He was, no, not the agent, the lawyer.
Friend. The lawyer friend.
The lawyer slash friend, who was only really a friend because he was the lawyer.
Oh.
It was an odd little relationship, but yeah. I thought that movie was fantastic, and seeing him just reminded me of it. But yeah, good trailer. I must watch this movie. Thumbs up.
I don't think I'd put it in my must watch. I mean, I think it was a fun trailer. However, I don't think the movie will do the same. I think it's going to prey too much on silly characters.
Well, we can hope for the best.
No, we can't.
Why not?
Anyways, let's move on to our second trailer of the night. And this one is Year One.
This summer, Columbia Pictures will take you back, way back, to the year one.
Hi, Ema.
Yeah, she doesn't even know I exist. There's like 60 people in the village. You really have to go out of your way to not know that somebody exists.
Drag her back to your hut.
What if she struggles?
Give her a little tap on the head.
Ow!
Women respond to that.
That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
It's not sort of a knowledge you taste.
Yeah, does it have a sort of forbidden taste? Because that's what it is.
You're cursed, man.
You better get out of here.
I'm going. I'm going to start a new tribe. It's going to be 10 times better. It's going to be called Muscle Tribe of Danger and Excellence. So who's with me?
Oh, a shooting star. That's the best.
We're good. Fine. Bye.
You coming?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
This is a great opportunity for us.
My brother, Kane. I'm called Abel.
You are called Suck.
Oh, boys, we are brothers.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
It's Ema.
Now we just have to figure out a way to rescue her.
These guys are killers.
We have an incredible destiny.
I want you to enter the Holy of Holies.
That is quite a coincidence, because I want you to sit on the Poly of Polies.
Sit tight, Mama. Daddy's got to fight. I never got a sword. I only got the holder. I didn't know that that's what it was for.
The prisoners shall be stoned today!
Right! Let us choose who gets to stone us.
That guy! This is a kid.
So? You got something against kids? This guy hates kids.
No, I don't.
Oh, that kid's got an arm.
Oh, God, there's two of us!
Year one.
I need to go be a slave now.
We should do something. When do you get off?
Never.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right, I'm going to strike a pose, I guess.
So, yeah, that was Year One, the new Harold Ramis film, with starring Michael Cera and Jack Black. Like, that's just plain hilarious.
I apologize, but I have to disagree. It was not hilarious. No, not at all. I thought that David Cross looked really funny in what looks to be a cameo role with Paul Rudd as Cain and Abel.
Yeah, they released that most of that scene already on the internet.
Exactly.
And that was hilarious.
I will also give you... Wait. Hang on. No, I can't give you anything else.
You didn't like Michael Cera?
Not really.
You didn't like Jack Black?
I never liked Jack Black.
Come on.
You should know this. I've liked him in very few movies. One of which...
High Fidelity?
Being High Fidelity.
Tenacious
another
D?
Another of which being... Not really Tenacious D. Tenacious D was okay, but I wouldn't say, oh, I love Jack Black in that
movie.
And
I know how much you love
so
School
good.
Of Rock.
Oh, don't let me start with School of Rock. School of Rock was so overrated. I don't know why everybody likes a flipping movie. I'm going to shout and pretend like I can play the... Well, I shouldn't say pretend because he can play the guitar. But, you know, he's just
but however,
annoying.
I'm sad to hear how much you hated Tropic Thunder.
Oh, shut up. I told you, there are very few movies that I like him in. Tropic Thunder is one of those movies. Tropic Thunder was hilarious. Tom Cruise was great in that movie. What the hell is that? Is that MSN?
Yeah.
MSN looks like crap now.
Yes, it does.
Then again, it always did.
It told me it wanted to update. I was like, sure, whatever. Then it looked like utter crap.
But yeah, so I don't think Jack Black is that great a comedian. I think he can be good when he wants to be sometimes, but most of the time he's just a little bit over the top. Michael Cera, I do like Michael Cera, but this just looks like Michael Cera being Michael Cera yet again.
I still haven't gotten bored of
I haven't
so
gotten
I
much
worry.
Bored of him, but at the same time, if he's doing the same thing that he does all the time as a secondary role, he's not pulling the movie. He is a supporting role to the man that I don't like,
Jack Black.
He did it for Ninka Noro.
But he wasn't supporting. No, he was.
Yeah, but I mean, he pulled the movie, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he pulled the movie. But what I'm saying is, he is a supporting role. He's not a star in this movie. He's the guy that walks around with Jack Black that might get to say a couple funny lines. That's what he's going to be in this movie.
It's still going to be funny. And you love Harold Ramis.
I love Harold Ramis. So I'm going to watch it and I'm going to hope, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to plead with the powers that be. Make this movie good. But at the same time, I'm not expecting it to
be good. This movie is going to be amazing. I don't care what you say. Harold Ramis directing a story of two people walking across the earth.
During the writer's strike when they couldn't get any rewrites, P.S. They were making a big deal out of it.
Now that you remind me. Yeah, it was filmed during the writer's strike.
Jack Black kept saying, oh, it's going to be a great time because it's the first time I've ever been on a movie where you don't get rewrites every day, you know? So,
Yeah. So, yeah, I have to watch this movie. But anyways, let's move on to the next trailer. It's called The Limits of Control.
Go to the towers. Go to the cafe. Wait a couple of days and watch for the violin.
No guns, no sex. How can you stand it?
It's like a game. Deception. Suspicion.
How did you get in here?
I used my imagination.
Among us, there are those who are not among us.
I'm among no one.
Is this your twisted idea of revenge?
Revenge is useless.
Everything's imagined. Sometimes the reflection is far more present than the thing being reflected.
Yet another addition from my late night wanderings of the intertubes last night, because this trailer would not have been on the show if it were not for me.
I thought about it for last week because it's actually an old trailer.
Yes, it is an old trailer. And I even said that in the email. I said it's a bit old, but we never talked about it. I didn't watch it before. It has one of my favorite Spanish actors, Gael Garcia Bernal. It also has Bill Murray, which is great. So I think this movie hopefully will be good. Bernal, however, does look like his role is extremely small. It looks like he's just a somebody he meets along the way of some sort of journey somewhere. Tilda Swinton is in it, which may or may not be a good move. I don't know. She's a little bit odd.
I'm trying to find this movie that you're talking about.
Casino, that's what it is.
He's the bad guy in Casino Royale. The lead in the film who plays the assassin is... I'm not going to try and pronounce his name properly. Isaac de Bancole. I'm butchering his name, but go to IMDb and look for him. He's the lead.
I just remembered that inflection that he has when he says, and you didn't think I would notice? And I just loved it. And I'm like, what movie is that from? It's the Bond movie.
Yeah, I do like this trailer because it introduces you to this whole assassin idea. And I love especially this one piece of the trailer where you see him in Bill Murray's office, it looks like, or his room, and Bill Murray's like, how the fuck did you get in here? And he's like, I used my imagination. I think the line has been used before other places, but it's still amazing whenever I hear people say that stuff like that.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure it's been used, but who cares? He is the president of Sengala. I've finally gotten Andrew to watch the show, and he hasn't gotten that far yet. He's still in season one.
I just watched episode 4 today.
Episode 4. Very good. But yes, he is the president of Sengala on 24 currently. So that's another good thing for
Spoilers.
Him.
Spoilers! You totally spoiled 24. I'm never going to watch it now.
How do I spoil it by saying he's a president of another country?
I say so. I'm never going to watch a show though.
Shut up, Andrew. Shut up.
All right, I have to admit, I'm enjoying it so far. It is a fun show so far. I've been fighting it out the whole way.
The whole way. I keep telling him, Andrew, watch a show. Watch a show. No, it's lame. I don't like it. And he hasn't seen it. And then the one time he decides to watch the first episode of the first season, he comes down to my room and I don't know. There's this odd look in his eye. Like, he's about to admit he's done something very, very wrong.
I just killed him.
And he says to me, Douglas, I love 24.
No, yeah, but back to this trailer. Like, I mean, this is definitely a film that I don't expect to be released out here.
Oh, of course not. It's a good film. Or it looks that way. Good films don't get released here. I don't understand you, Andrew. How did you?
I'm going to put out a personal call to Jim Jarmusch. Is that how you pronounce his name? The director and writer.
Please send us a trailer on your screener.
We will review it for you, and I will almost promise a good review.
Almost.
Not in writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything much more we can say about that?
Not really.
Anyways, let's get on to our main review of Quid Pro Quo, and here's a trailer for those of you who don't know what the hell this is.
I don't remember any of what I'm about to tell you. I only know what the police and coroner's reports say.
Wake up!
Up next, Life in the City with Isaac Knott.
Last week, a man walked into Bayside Hospital and bribed a doctor into chopping off his leg.
What was wrong with his leg?
Nothing.
If they're chopping off good legs for money, that's hard news.
The caller who gave us this tip, ancient Chinese girl.
She wants to meet Isaac.
Hop in. You make me so nervous.
I remember thinking somewhere in this building there are others. It never occurred to me that others could mean something else entirely.
Do you want to understand why, Isaac? You know how you have fantasies? Mine was to shut the curtains all day and walk around in my Milwaukee Braves.
Are you okay? What did she tell you?
Last night, they were talking about someone named Ginger Jake. Is she Chinese?
Jamaican, I think.
People go to her to get paralyzed? What does she do to them? I need to find Ginger Jake.
You have to ask the questions unless you really don't want to know the answer.
Ginger Jake will kill you.
I can't eat. I can't talk. Drinking mean Jake, Lord, now can't walk.
Why would someone want to be paralyzed?
I want to know more.
There's someone else.
She lied to you, your contact. You think that could be a problem? Because I can see how it could be a problem.
Wake up!
You still have no idea, do you?
Does it have to be me?
It has to be you.
So good, people. That was the trailer for Quid Pro Quo, the movie that Damien has been hyping up on this podcast since, I believe, the first episode.
Yeah. All right. This is what we're going to do. We're going to review it, and you'll be you. But I am going to play Damien since he isn't here tonight.
Okay. Right. Let's get ready.
So hold on.
I'm just going to shake out that
bit. You want a countdown?
Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Damien.
So, Damien, I'd like to hear your take on the movie.
What the fuck is your problem?
No. I haven't told you that I don't like it yet.
No, I can tell it in your voice. I can tell it in the way you're looking at me. You know how, and you love the go-getter. You and your Zooey Deschanel hate. What the hell is up with you? How can you? You know what? I'm done. This podcast is over.
But listen, Damien, this is a movie about a guy in a wheelchair.
And it's awesome.
What's awesome about it? The guy is in the wheelchair. And then he finds a pair of magic shoes.
But, I mean, that's...
And then, those magic shoes are so magic that after, I would say, maybe 30 years of paralysis, this man is now magically able to walk.
But no, you can't really say it's magical because they had this whole thing about how he kept his feet strong via whatever the hell it is he did, whether it was therapy.
I'm sorry, it's not magical that he puts on a pair of shoes and starts walking.
No, he called it magical. But
no, hang on. It's not magical that he puts on a pair of shoes and starts walking out of the fucking blue?
Is it magical for the first time when you light a fire that it burns?
No, because
never knew before that the fire burns when you touch it.
Oh, that's what you mean by burns. Burns your finger or burns yourself.
Yeah.
No, it's not magical. It's fire, motherfucker.
And that's what I'm saying about these shoes. He's never put on these shoes before. He doesn't know whether they would affect him in any such way.
You know what? I just took off my shoes in front of the mic. Hopefully you heard it. I'm now giving them to Andrew. I'm going to see if they magically make him a paraplegic.
I'm Damien.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to give them to Damien and see if they magically make him a paraplegic.
That smells. But seriously, what was your problem with this movie? This movie was amazing. It taught me about how I had to tolerate paralyzed people and how I shouldn't want to be a wannabe.
First of all, Damien, I don't think that I should have to answer the question, what is wrong with the movie, because it would take too long. The question that I have to ask you, because that will take a very short time, is what was right with the movie?
So, like, when I got to watch this movie, I saw the trailer and I thought it was interesting. You know, I never seen anything really about paralyzed people before because, you know, I don't watch that many movies.
You only watch The Dark Knight and Watchmen.
I mean, I'm tired of people talking about Tarantino because he's an asshole. And I mean, Zoe Deschanel is just a stupid, annoying, quirky bitch. So, I mean, I was happy to see Nick Stahl because he was awesome in Sin City. That was an awesome movie because it was an action film.
Oh, and because it was made from a comic book.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's another thing we get to pick up on, his comic book club. Right? But whenever we get a role...
Oh, and it was snubbed for the Oscar.
That too.
For best movie.
That too. I mean, Nick Stahl was my best actor of last year. Screw Michael... Screw Sean Penn. Because Milk sucked, right? This movie is the penultimate movie of 2008.
You sure he'd use the word penultimate?
All right, I'm sorry. I just got out of character.
I think you should say something like the best fucking. I think that's the way he would say it. The best fucking movie.
Take two.
Okay.
Take number two. This was the best fucking movie of 2008, right?
Okay.
I've had way too much fun right there.
On a serious note.
Yeah. All right, just to get
Damien.
This out. Hold on, just to get this out of the way, because I don't think people understand, I hate this movie. Right? I personally, as Andrew Robinson of gmanreviews.com, the official statement is this movie fucking sucks. Damien, I'd like to... the only thing I can say to myself to make Damien hype this so much is that this is a practical joke. For all the times that I've said Death Proof is amazing, that I've said that Sean Penn is the best actor, Milk is better than The Dark Knight, you know, this has to be a practical joke. And it's just amazing that this happens to be the week that Damien doesn't show up. Oh.
Yes. Not only that, but it would be the greatest practical joke in the world. Look how long he's been preparing this.
And then he just decides not to show up so that we can't even, like, hit him.
Yeah. Okay, so this movie is a movie about I don't know if I should call it a disorder, but a preference or something that I have actually read about before. I'm sure Damien watched a movie and he's like, oh, I've never heard about this before. Oh, it's you know, very, very new and whatever. It's been around for ages. I've read about people that cut off their limbs and put
are you talking about Saw?
I read about a lady who actually what did she do? She went into a bathtub full of ice just so that she could numb her feet badly enough that they would have to amputate it because she felt like she couldn't live with their feet and that kind
of
thing.
Was she like one of these hugely vain women who like hated her feet or was it a huge thing like she felt her feet weren't her own?
Yeah, it was just like in the movie where she said she never felt right with them. But whatever. Let's say that was or was not the case. Either way, the movie was crap. You've got Nick Stahl, who is a lifetime paraplegic in essence. He got paralyzed when he was eight or nine. Yeah. You have Vera Farmiga, who plays the love interest, who turns out to be one of these wannabes, in a sense. She's a little bit different. And then you have Phil LaMarr was in this movie. Phil LaMarr from Mad TV. I remember I used to watch that show all the time.
I've blurred out all of those memories.
He was in Mad TV, and he was the voice for Samurai Jack. That's the caliber of movie that Damien is making me watch. A movie with Phil LaMarr. You know what was his last... Oh, wait, sorry. I was about to say his last movie that was big was Evolution, but then I realized that wasn't him. That was his other friend, Orlando Jones. So he wasn't even in that. This movie,
all right. Thing that I wanted to say about this movie, like, I saw the trailer for this as well as Deception at the same time, and I bagged them into the same style of movie, and they both looked awesome in the trailers. But when I saw Deception, that movie was so horrible, right? Like, I'm horrible at predicting films, but they made it so obvious at every point where they would be like, yeah, we kind of said it, but if you weren't paying attention, you wouldn't have heard the trick. But no, I could hear it because it was so freaking obvious.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the same thing with this
movie. Actually, yeah, I saw
everything
it from
was so obvious.
Way before. I'm like, once I saw what was going down, I'm like, you know what? This is the thing. And it turned out to be the thing. Can I spoil it? This is an awful movie.
No,
you guys
no.
shouldn't be watching this movie. I can't spoil it.
All right, spoilers for quid pro quo. If you really care that much, don't continue watching. But this movie's really horrible, so, you know.
Okay, listen. Once the lady started talking to him, and she started, you know, getting all nervous, and she's like, so how did it happen? And he's like, oh, yes, this cheerleader. I just remember I call her the pom-pom girl because I remember the pom-pom. She mowed down my family. Once he said that and she reacted the way she did, I was like, this is a flipping cheerleader, isn't it? And yes, it was. That was the big twist in the end of the movie. She was the person that hit him down. And then their situations got reversed where he had the magic shoes where he could walk and she didn't want to walk, so she was in the wheelchair. And I'm sure Damien is going to tell me, no, but it's a great movie because it shows that she was in such, you know, regret that she wanted to be in his place. She wanted to be in the wheelchair. That's why, because she hit him down and she has never felt the same since. I don't give a shit. If the movie's not good, I'm not going to care about the emotional interactions of the people that were in a bad movie. No, I care about the emotional interactions of people who are in good movies. This movie was just not good. And I know I'm not giving a reason for my hatred. I'm sorry. It's kind of hard for me too when there's nothing good about the movie to say.
I'm a slight fan of Nick Stahl. I mean, I loved him in that show Carnival.
Yeah, and he was good in Sin City.
I liked him in Sin City.
Yeah.
I liked him even for what he did in Terminator 3. Right? Even though that movie was horrible. Right? And I'm happy to see that he's getting roles. I didn't look on IMDb to see if he's doing anything now, but like, this movie is too bad. I can't really explain it any further than it's just boring. It's the story of if we talked about the guy who did Superman. What's his name again?
Richard Donner?
No, the
Brian Singer?
No, the original Superman.
Oh, you mean the actor?
Yeah, the actor.
His last name was Reeve.
Chris Reeves. No,
Christopher Reeves was the one that did it in like the 80s and the 70s. With Richard Donner directing and
Gene Hackman. Yeah, that's what I'm talking. The one who went who fell off the horse.
Oh, I see where you're going. By the way, that's not the original Superman, but go ahead.
All right, yeah. If we had the story of
George Reeves.
That's the original one.
Yes. So when you said the original Superman, I was thinking the original Superman.
All right. Anyway, well, I'm talking about Chris Reeves.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. Chris Reeves and his when he went paralyzed. If we had him paralyzed and then someone decided to come up to a paralyzed person and say, "I want to be paralyzed," imagine how depressing and hurtful that would be. This guy who knows what it's like to walk around and wishes every day, "God damn it, I wish I could walk." And someone who can walk sits down and tells you, "Cut off my legs. I don't want to walk."
Actually, you know what? I actually understand. I shouldn't say understand. What am I good? I don't think it's such a bad thing. I think you can have some sort of understanding for somebody saying that. I mean, just because this person is in a wheelchair doesn't mean that they must be offended because somebody does not want what they want.
Yeah, but it's like, I guess, but it just kind of feels...
I mean, you don't be a douche about it. I mean, if somebody was to come up to you and you were in a wheelchair and they're like, you bastard, I hit you. No, but if, you know, like the way they did in the movie, they were just like, well, you see, the thing is, we think this and we really like that and that's what we want to be. You know, it's what they want and... You know, what are they going to do? Lie? They're going to be like, "Oh, I can't say that to a guy in a wheelchair." No.
People do it all the while.
Doesn't make it right.
Yeah, so that's really the only plus this movie ever gives you, in that if you didn't know, it gives you that universe of people who want to be paralyzed. And even that, it's not the main focus of the film. It's the main focus is the relationship between Nick Stahl and the girl.
Yeah.
And how they personally go through what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie sucks, so don't watch it.
Yeah. You want to watch a good movie with Vera Farmiga? Watch The Departed.
Oh, yeah, it's her. That movie's awesome. All right, so that's the end of the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
The end?
Yeah, we don't have anything else to talk about. Is there something else you want to talk about?
We could make fun of Damien again.
No, I think we've done enough, and when he hears this episode, it's going to be ridiculous. Can you imagine when he's at work sitting down and he's like, all right, Andrew's put up the episode. Let me listen to what the hell they talked about with Quid Pro Quo because I want to know what they think. And then he hears me go on. Like, I can just imagine my phone ringing immediately.
You know what I think you should do?
What?
I think you should actually list it in. You know how you always list what we do? Mm-hmm. Actually list it as saying Damien comes on and talks about Quid Pro Quo.
He phones in. Right, so that was... Is there anything else you want to talk about then? No?
I don't know.
All right. That was the Unnamed Movie Podcast, episode 11. I'm Andrew.
I'm Douglas.
You can find all episodes on gmanreviews.com. We broadcast live every Wednesday night, even though tonight we're broadcasting on Saturday. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing, and we just felt like delaying for a little while to get things in order. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/gmanreviews.
And my Twitter name is DJR Lost His Name.
If you want to get in contact with us, you can email us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com. Just send us any feedback, any questions, anything you want to ask or anything.
And send us screeners.
Yeah. And
good ones.
And next week, we will be reviewing Unforgiven, the film that Clint Eastwood won the Oscar for.
The Oscar? He hasn't won any more than one?
Well, this was, I think, the first one.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to say, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, for his directing.
Quite a few.
All right. Good night. Thanks for listening.